Buenos dias. Ah, there we go. Good morning. Bonjour. Oh, it's good to be with you, church. Each year, near the beginning of the year, we set aside some time to discuss giving. We do this for a couple of reasons. One, we as a congregation work by each of us contributing to the work and ministry in and through Abbeydale Christian Fellowship. And we want to invite and encourage all of us to be a giving people. Two, we set aside this specific time of preaching so that it is independent of the state of our financial budget. So it comes whether that is doing well or it's doing poorly. And thirdly, we do this to help remind folks that giving is not first and foremost about money, though that plays a part. Giving comes from being the church and a relationship with our God who gives generously. And we have sung well today of God's generosity. And so that brings us to today, 2025's preaching on giving of our time, of our resources, our talents, and response to our generous giving God. And the title for this sermon is Giving and the S Word. Okay, having heard the scripture read, does anyone want to guess what the S word is? Oh, submission. Does anyone, when they hear the line about submit to one another or any language of submitting to one another, get a little bit on edge? Like it sounds like a bad idea or a bad word, like something we don't want to talk or think about? Yeah, well, that's what we're going to think about today. And here's the framework for today's sermon. The first thing we're going to do is I'd like to take some time to see submission and understand how it is taught and modeled by Jesus. And I pray in doing so, not only will we submission lose its S-word status among us, but more so that we be aware of Jesus who lived to serve others and in love gave himself up to save us in submission to the Father's will. And then secondly, is the application of this. I'd like us to then take this vision of submission in Jesus to see how a life of faith submitted to God has to teach us about being giving, about being generous with all we are and all we have. And so my prayer for us is that we would actually leave here excited even about submission, renewed and passionate about all that God has done for us, and that the same would be true of our work of being the church towards each other, towards the world, and towards our God. So submission, what is it? The New Testament, the Greek word, is actually kind of like these two words smashed together. And the first part is under, and I should go this way if you're all looking at me. The first part's under. And the second word can mean arrange or order. And so the idea of submission, at least in the Bible, is to be under someone else's orders or arranged for their purposes. So ours become secondary or less. Similar ideas in Scripture you will find are words like to be obedient, to be humbled. And submission was a pretty common idea in the world in which the New Testament was written. Each household, especially in the kind of larger Greco-Roman world, was in submission to the head of the family, the man, and what the man, the dad, the husband, thought best. And this larger cultural world viewed submission as an act that was actually required of each household for the good of that household and for the good of greater society. Things stay stable if everyone is submissive to who they need to be submissive to. And so there was actually quite a great deal of legal and societal weight to enforce submission under the head of the household. And submission, I think, gets a bad idea because it comes, at that time at least, and since then, imposed, enforced, and demanded. Ephesians 5:21 captures a scriptural focus that's contrary to that, that submission is not something that is enforced, but is instead an invitation. That out of reverence for Christ, we are invited to submit to one another. And as we look to Jesus, that I think submission is transformed, something that loses its S-word status and becomes actually a good thing, something we can choose, not to our detriment, but something that is key to the life of Jesus, to salvation and our discipleship. So Jesus' life of submission. The first time we hear of Jesus' submission is in his childhood. His parents, Joseph and Mary, his earthly parents, realize that he is missing after a visit to Jerusalem for Passover. They go back and search for days and finally find him in the temple courts listening and asking questions and amazing the teachers that are there. And one of the closing lines of that story is this from Luke 2:51. Then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. But that obedient word there is the same word as submissive. He is under their orders or under their arrangement. Jesus' submission, however, is seen most clearly in his relationship to God the Father, his heavenly Father. Jesus makes this clear in his teaching. He tells us in John 5:19 that he only does what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Later in the Gospel of John, we hear from Jesus in John 12:49 to 50, Jesus speaking these words, "For I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that this command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." So think of your favorite Bible story of Jesus, whether it's a teaching or a miracle or an encounter or anything. All this is done because Jesus lived a life of obedience, of submission to the Father, seeking the Father's glory and not his own. Jesus tells us that his submission is also not just for the Father's glory, but also for our own good. Jesus' life submitted to the Father leads to eternal life. And we see this submission to the Father's will and our own good lived out in striking detail in the days leading up to Jesus' death. Jesus goes to Jerusalem in the Father's will, knowing what will come. On the night that he is betrayed, Jesus is praying fervently that the cup, meaning his upcoming torturous death on the cross, would pass for him. And then he prays, "Father, yet not as I will, but as you will." It's from Matthew 26. And then comes the cross, this moment of utter submission to the Father's will. That despite how it looks, despite the evil plans of those involved in his arrest, his mock trial, his beatings, the torture, the crucifixions, Jesus sees it as the Father's will and submits to it. And from the cross and from the resurrection comes a tsunami of forgiveness, of mercy and grace that comes from the self-giving up love of God in Christ Jesus that turns back the flow of death, that unseats evil and breaks the chains of sin. And from this moment on, of Jesus' great submission on the cross to the Father, of obedient faith, of sacrifice, comes salvation, comes new life, comes redemption. As we heard Julia read from Paul's letter to the Philippians, that Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is God and did not consider that something to get his own way or to be used as his own advantage, but instead to show us God's servant heart. And so Jesus humbled himself. He came down into our situation, our weakness, our humanity, and did this in service and obedience to the Father. It led him to the cross. This is the mindset of Jesus' vision for submission to the Father. And Paul writes that we too are to have the same mindset that is in Christ Jesus. We are together to live out the life of Jesus with his vision, his attitudes, his loves, be worked out in us as his people. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to actually pause here because I think there's a few things to learn about Jesus' submission that will serve us well as we consider giving. Firstly, submission to God is an act of trust and faith. And what we see in Jesus is submission is first and foremost to the Father's will and guidance to our lives. Any other submission that is asked of us, even to one another, is always understood as having to be in line with our submission to God and his will. Second, we are to remember that we are not Jesus. Our submission is not going to save other people as Jesus' does. And so we are then also to be humble, because unlike Jesus, we don't know the Father's will for each and every circumstance. It takes us a lot of prayer and fasting and discernment, and sometimes we get it wrong. Jesus knew the Father's will perfectly. And so if we're going to be humble about this, then we should be gracious and considerate of others who may be submitting to us. And be wise and discerning when invited to submit to one another out of reverence in Christ. Humility is also needed. And as Paul writes in the beginning of Philippians 2, that having the same mindset of Jesus is about living well together in unity. From the beginning part of Philippians 2, we read, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of the others. Now, in that Philippians 2 passage, the word submission itself is not used, but this is what a picture of submission looks like in Paul's mind. To look to Jesus and what he has done on the cross, and then to encourage us to have the same mind, the same values, the same giving ourselves over to God so that we can be a good to one another, that we can be united. That our submission is part of how we work out being one together in Jesus. So moving now into giving, I think it's important to remember that we're not our own. As we sang today, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Generosity and self-giving, serving and submission of Jesus to God shows us how to live in right relationship with God. As Galatians 2:20 puts it, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we, the church, live out in salvation and discipleship the same act of trust, of submission. And so I have some questions for us to consider as we work our way into the application through giving. Has God's goodness and grace been abundantly poured out by his Spirit on us? Has God been abundant in offering all he has for you and for me? Has God poured mercy upon mercy and grace upon grace into our lives? Is God good, and can we trust him? I hope we would say amen to that, because what we have seen in Jesus, what we have experienced in the giving of the Spirit, amen, because of what Jesus has done, we have been drawn into the Father's love. Our life is drawn from God's and reflects the life shown in Jesus. We have been loved, as Jason so well puts it, so we can be loved. We have been forgiven so we can forgive. We have been set free so we can live in freedom. We have been saved by the obedient submission of faith and the Father's will of Jesus so we too can live a good life and trusting the Father and submitting mutually to one another. So know this, being not our own, being asked to submit to the Father and being giving ourselves up for one another, that nothing is being asked of us that has not been done by Jesus and modeled by him. Okay, on to the application. We can say things and believe things, but one of the things about us as people is we can say stuff, but it doesn't get lived out. So, I'm preaching on submission. Have I put it into practice? We say amen to what God has done for us in Jesus, but does it change how we live? And one of the ways I think we have been given to understand how to live in submission to the Father and to mutually submit to one another is knowing that we're not our own and living generously towards God and each other. This discipline of generosity, this discipline of giving, molds us to be more like Jesus and to build in us Christ-like attitudes of living to the Father's delight, of being one in purpose with the church, and showing love and mutual submission to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're going to talk about how it is we can put into practice or some ways of thinking about how giving up of who we are to God's will and to each other with our time and our resources and our talents to see what this might look like, to see what we might learn here. So with time, of all the three today, this is the one I have the hardest thing submitting to. In full confession mode, I would still like to be Lord over my own time. I have this weird value where every day I think, oh, I need me time. And this is not self-care time. This is not loving myself well by doing things to help me rest and are renewed. No, what often comes in the time that I think I need for me is taking in media that leaves me frustrated and weary. And if somebody else interrupts that time I think I need, oh, then I get resentful. This is one of the most piercing convictions of getting ready for this week. Thinking about submission and giving and home with my kids, and I think they're all settled, and I think, oh, good, I can finally do what I want. And then they come traipsing with a problem, and I get frustrated when what I should respond to is love and service for my kids. Eh? Anyway. So this love of my own me time, I know, is not in line with Scripture. And part of what has convicted me this week is this discipline that needs to change in my life to being submission to God. And in preparing this sermon, I'm also drawn to submit my time to God fully in seeing the love of the Father with all that Jesus does. If that is the conviction side, like, oh man, something's wrong, the drawn inside, the encouragement side is just to see how much Jesus loved doing what the Father does, loved giving of his life, his time to what the Father is doing. Because I see in Jesus the freedom and joy it brings. And I know in those moments where I say, like, no, I need my me time, there's no joy there. We read in 1 Peter 1:17 to 19, that since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time here as foreigners in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Submitting my life to God allows me to be humble about my limited time, and to be focused on how God views what I give my time to. So I submit myself to God so that I can be given over to seeing the good of others. My time can then be redeemed and filled with purpose, offered up generously, giving of my time towards things that really count. Money and resources. If I'm hoarding resources, if I'm hoarding money, then my life is not submitted to God, not seeking the good of others. A life of fear and idolatry is down the path of keeping all things to myself. In 1 Timothy 6, we read, I know maybe some of you are expecting the line, the love of money is the root of all evil, but I'm going to read the larger part of it. Here's what Paul writes to 1 Timothy. To Timothy in 6, verse 6 to 10, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Loving money is not good for us. It's not good for our neighbors or for our world. And it's not good for God. Instead of life submitted, trusting in God, we can gain contentment. And that is worth so much. The peace that comes and submitting all that we own to God, to be content. We can practice submission and find the joy in it by remembering that we are stewards of our money, of our resources. All things are entrusted to us. I know some of us have lived and have living through rough times. Not loving money is one thing, but letting go of the fear of not having enough is another. I think one of the ways that we are to be a gift to one another is to be generous. It frees us from our own wrong loves of money and also liberates those who are in fear of not having enough. Generosity frees us from our wrong loves of money and helps others to see that the church, that God, will take care of them. So we give so that no one is in need. We do this for our own folks and neighbors through community cupboard. We do this as we give to help each other with the basics of life through the deacons. We do this as we welcome one another and share what we have out of the love that Jesus has shown for us. And the really cool part about this, in submitting our money, our resources to God, and letting him direct it to others in mutual submission, is that we get to be answers to prayers for daily bread. That's a pretty cool thing. The way that Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, God invites us to be the means to which he answers that prayer. Okay, our talents or our skills? God, in his goodness and graciousness, sends his Spirit to grace his people with gifts. One of these gifts is spiritual gifts. That is, we are all given something that we can do by the Spirit to encourage and build one another up in faith. And there are examples of these kinds of gifts of the Spirit all throughout Scripture. Things like teaching and encouragement, of service, of being apostles, of being deacons, of being pastors. And one of the places we can read about how the Spirit works his grace out in us is in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to read 1 Corinthians 12, but it would be a good place to go and read this week as you think about what it means to live a life in service to God and in service to others. But here's a few things to point out. If you go there, I want you to notice that while we may have different gifts, it is God who gives them all. And two, that these gifts are meant to unite us. They are given these graced abilities to bind us together in love and unity. You see, we need each other. I need you. And when we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, one of the things we are doing is saying, I see in you the grace of God at work. And I submit to it. When we mutually submit to each other, one of the things that helps us to do that is to recognize that when I submit to my brother, I am seeing and recognizing the gift that he is to this congregation. I am submitting and recognizing that the gift that God has graced him with, that is for my own good. And I hope, in doing so, I will realize that the Spirit has given me a gift too, for the sake of others, to give of my time and of my skills, of my talents towards one another, so that the encouragers among us would encourage, the teachers would teach, the discerners to discern. So please know that you are needed. God has good work to work through you as you submit to him and seek to submit to build one another up. Now, you may not know the gifts the Spirit has given you, but I want to encourage you with this. We all have things we can do, and I would like you not to get too hung up on thinking, oh, is that a spiritual gift? The Spirit is working through your submission of your life to the Father to bring about Christ's likeness in you and others as you offer what you have and what you can do, who you are, and love to one another. So some of us serve each other by helping with vehicles, with worship, with kids ministry, with prayers, with meals, with cleaning, with shoveling, with teaching, with listening, with coffee. If you are asking the Lord, Lord, how can I give my life wholly to you? How can I give generously to love one another well? Then you are well on your way to learning the grace of the Spirit and the discipline of submission of your talents and your skills to the Lord and to each other. And here's where we're going to end. We're going to end on this note of love. For love of the Father and for us, Jesus came and he gave himself up. And as we look to the cross, we are drawn into the Father's embrace. As we look to Jesus, we are called to have his life lived out in us by the Spirit, making us one in his love. And so I hope and I pray today that as we think about being generous and being submissive, that the word submission is no longer or maybe even less so an S word to you. I pray that you will see the invitation and the example of Jesus to submit. I pray that Jesus' great act of love, of giving, of submission on the cross has moved us to awe and that will form and discipline our church life. And I pray that we would consider how in being generous, we are reflecting God's great generosity and forming us to have the same mindset of Jesus that lived to bring glory to the Father and serve others first. So this year ahead, as we consider giving and generosity, let us think about submission. And let us delight in the Son's submission. And let the Spirit move us to submit to the Father and to mutually to each other, so that we may give of all we are in love and practicing submission to God and being bound together in love and unity as we mutually submit and proclaim the glory of the goodness of our generous, serving God. Amen.